said about the second temptation. So the devil wanted him to show off, to throw himself down off the tower, so that the angels would come and lower him safely to the ground, would see it, it'd be a big show, it'd be a big spectacle that everyone would see, and they would know that he's like the one to follow. And then I said that Jesus doesn't deal in such theatrics. He has no reason to show off, you know. They gave me the story of the Transfiguration. At first glance, it certainly looks like he's showing off, you know. Everything becomes bright, and there's a voice from the cloud, and Jesus is so shiny that they can't look at him because he's glowing, and then Moses and Elijah are both there, long gone, you know. Not even Houdini, not even Chris Angel could, like, do this as well as Jesus does it here. The thing is, though, is Jesus really showing? Is this really the same as what the devil was tempting him to do? The devil was tempting him to go over the top in front of everybody, in front of the entire group. He's only with Peter and James and John. And then he tells them not to tell anyone. I think in reality, Jesus wasn't all of this that might look as theatrics. None of it is making Jesus any bigger than he actually is. Instead, rather, before the Transfiguration and after the Transfiguration, every other time, it's rather all of that bigness and all of that, the power of Jesus' divinity is kept hidden. It keeps it hidden. He is always the way he is at the Transfiguration. It's just that it doesn't show it. He keeps it so everyone can't see it. I mean, it'd be like, I don't know, Marilyn Monroe walking around with a pink rag over her head so that, because she would just be too pretty for everyone to see or something. Or because, you know, she goes to a supermarket, the crowd would form and all this stuff. Gotta wear a mask. You gotta, otherwise, celebrities in supermarkets cause crowds to form and riots and I don't know, stuff like that. Better than that, though, let me use another analogy I prepared. Back in 1997, Julie Andrews, everyone know who Julie Andrews is? Julie Andrews had surgery on her throat in 1997. And after the surgery, the surgery was botched and she couldn't sing. Julie Andrews with her voice. Beautiful 4-octave range that she had, all the great music that she could produce with it. It was a tragedy. And it was a tragedy not just for her. It wasn't just that she despaired of the gift that she had lost. But all the rest of everyone who would listen to her perform couldn't enjoy her singing. It's a big loss, not just for her, but for everyone. Yet, in 2004, many years later, she was able to sing once again in a limited way in a movie that she was in. And I guess the day they filmed it, that it brought tears not only to her, but also to the people on the set that day of the movie that she was working on. Her great talents were hidden for a long time until they could shine out a little bit. Could she sing forever? Could they just give her a microphone and let her loose and just keep on going? No, she couldn't do that. If she were to, she would inevitably strain her voice again and she would damage it again. She could only do a little bit, but she could do it. She could do it again. Let that gift that she had and that she had lost, she could receive a little bit of it back. Jesus shows his friends just a little bit, very briefly, so that they will know exactly who he is. And also that they will know exactly what they'll be working toward, what they'll be moving toward. It can't come until it is seen completely at the resurrection. That's when who Jesus is will really be shown off. He's the one you can't kill. Want to try again? It's not going to happen. At that point, everyone will be able to see exactly who he is. But for right now, he shows them just a little bit. And then he tells them, of course, that it can't not tell anybody about it until after he is risen from the dead, meaning he's got to go through the whole death in order to accomplish this. We will all have to deal with the ultimate shadowing over of our gifts and of our talents, of our abilities, of whatever powers that we have. An accident can cause paralysis. Alzheimer's can cause our mental capacities. Our lives are given to us by God to be lived fully and to be able to use our lives to pursue excellence in things and to be shared. Our lives are given to us to be shared with others. But the prospect of an inevitable and an unavoidable death always looms in the distance. We know. It's just, we're human. We know that eventually at some point, it might be 80 years away, but we know that it's always sort of there, looming over us. We see it ahead of us right now, liturgically, ritualistically, as we look 5 weeks into the future, to Good Friday. On Good Friday, we'll venerate you know, the Holy Cross. We remember Jesus' death that day. That's the day that we remember that. Death might make us sad. Death might make us angry. Through it, we look through death. We look through Good Friday to Easter Sunday. We look through death to the resurrection on the other side. That's why Jesus does this whole transfiguration thing, so that he can show the guys there what we need to be looking towards. Don't look to death, look through it, to the other side of it. We know that if we trust that Jesus has defeated death, then we just have to be united with him and he'll bring us through it too. Not around it. We're not going to go like this. But through it. Through death, to that resurrection, we'll get to where our deceased loved ones once again have life. Where, in the words of one of our funeral prayers, where Lazarus is poor no longer. Where Julie Andrews has four octaves again, you know? And where there is no place for imperfection or deterioration. And we do bear, of course, a part of the responsibility of getting there. So I'll finish just by re-quoting the second reading, where Paul tells Timothy, "Bear your share of the hardship with the strength that comes from God. He called us to a holy life, according to his own design, through Jesus Christ, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel."